Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings to us, and we pray that from your word this morning you might encourage and teach us and challenge us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, page 987 of the Pew Bible. What? Oh, I'm looking at this here. What it's, hang on. That's the gospel. Yeah, you're right. 1178. Sorry. 1178. Oh, dear. She who must be obeyed. Yes. Well, on reading from the Philippians, it's been quite a challenge to me this week, and it's caused me to ask myself some questions concerning this reading. And I'm going to ask you some of the questions that have been going through my mind. You don't have to stand up and give an answer, so that'll make it easier for you. However, as you go out and shake my hand at the door, I will ask you... No, I won't. But I want you to think about how you might answer these questions in your own mind. And so here we go. I want to ask you, do you live each day consciously wanting to bring glory to God? That as you live each day, you seek purposefully to honour our Lord Jesus Christ. That your Christian faith is something that you want people to be aware of? Or do you seek to live each day to bring glory to God? That is, you live each day seeking to honour Christ, or the fact that you call yourself a Christian, is it important to you? Is it important that as a Christian, others might recognise that? You see, at the moment, there are countries in the world where to confess to being a Christian or to live as a Christian, to possess a copy of the Scriptures, to worship Jesus Christ, can be very, very costly. It's only a few weeks ago that we heard of Christians who were being crucified, put to death in a number of different ways. So what effect does that have on you? What effect does it have on you? Does this situation make your faith stronger? Do you say, I stand with them? Is that what we say? And if your life hung in the balance, so that if you were to confess of having a faith in Jesus Christ, that you would die, or if you said, no, I don't believe in him, you would live. Which would you choose? Which would you choose? What choice would I make? See, for me it's more important what choice I would make than what choice you would make. But hopefully it's more important what choice you would make than what choice I would make. Those who have been crucified, those who have been killed for their faith, have made a choice. And they chose Jesus. They chose Jesus. And what has it cost them to make that choice, to choose Jesus? It has cost them their lives. So what do you say about them? Oh, what courage. What do we say? What faith. What confidence they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. What trust in his word. It's clear that they believed what Jesus said. He who believes in me shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. They were and are confident that there is life after death. So who's winning here? Those who are killing Christians? No. No. Let me read what Paul had to say to the church in Rome. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor any height, nor any depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:37-39. For the Christian, our trust, our hope, our assurance does not abide in ourselves. It rests in Christ, in what he did on the cross, and what he accomplished through his resurrection. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, could say, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. It's not what we have done. It is accepting what Christ has done for us. The question is, do we live with this confidence? The hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. I won't go on. But the hymn writer could write that because he was convinced that everything that he hoped for, everything that he longed for, not in this world, but for the future, rested in Christ alone. Paul, writing to the Philippians from prison, a prisoner for Jesus, could write, look at verses 12 to 14. Now I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served the advance of the gospel. As a result, it has become clear through the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. We see that Paul, being in prison, gives encouragement to others to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. They are not afraid. They are not afraid for their lives. What about you and me? When we hear and even see on televisions, our television screens, our brothers and sisters being crucified or tortured, killed, does it make us more courageous and fearless to speak the word of God? What effect does it have on us? Paul rejoiced knowing that the Philippians were praying for him. Are we praying for Christians who are living under the threat of death? Can they be assured of our prayers? Or is there silence with little or no concern or spiritual support for them? Paul didn't know if he would be put to death, if he would become a martyr. And in verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage to know that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And of course, we come to our reading from verse 21. For me to live is to glorify Christ. That is why if I die and therefore thereby glorify him, that will be gain for me, a thing which I desire, as it will bring to a close my life, my whole life of service for him. See, Paul was ready to die. He longed to be with his Lord. Paul had suffered as a Christian. If you read Galatians and you hear all of what happened to Paul, you think, the poor sod. He really did cop it. He really did. On the other hand, he saw that there was still work to be done. And he says that he is torn between the two, verses 23 and 24. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul wants to visit the Philippians. He wants to see them again. He wants to build up their faith, and that by being with them, their joy in Christ Jesus will overflow. I had the cheek to write here in my sermon, I hope this mob will be pleased that I'm here with them this morning. You see, fellowship in the gospel brings great joy, or it should. We should be excited when we come together to share the things of Jesus. I'm excited that we've got some visitors from Queensland who exercise their faith up there and want to continue it down here. Thank you for coming this morning. Our worship here today should bring joy to one another. There should be excitement as we greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be wanting to encourage one another and not just be here for ourselves. I can remember I'd been here about a year, and a lady came out of church one morning and said, I can't stay here anymore, John. I said, oh, yes. She said, I won't say where she was going, but I'm going elsewhere. And I said, oh, would you mind telling me what the problem is? She said to me, you're too friendly. She couldn't cope with it in worship. I was sad. Our worship together should strengthen and encourage us for when we move out into the world. Again, Paul could say, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Verse 27. The way Christians behave, the way they live, the words that we speak, all say something about our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. by their fruit you shall know them. No doubt to live in Australia is different to living in many parts or other countries around the world. I don't think that we expect to suffer in any way because we are Christians. And yet, the events in the last couple of weeks could have changed all of that. There are occasions, though, when to speak about what we believe, who we believe in, can bring ridicule and sarcastic comments, may even lose a friend. Then I'd have to ask, how deep was that friendship? But in the light of verse 29, we need to ask ourselves, how effective is our witness for Jesus? For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for him. Suffering for the Lord Jesus was an expectation and not a choice for the early church. For the Christian today, I don't think that applies in Australia. A Christian is expected to be courageous and not gutless. A Christian is not meant to hide their faith, but to live it. So let me return to where I commenced by asking, do you live each day seeking to bring glory to God, to honour him, and to show that you are a Christian? Is your faith strengthened by the suffering of Christians in other countries who are prepared to die for their faith? And have you thought about how you live as a follower, as a believer in Jesus Christ? As comfortable, safe, joyful Christians in Bendigo, Queensland, can I encourage you to consider how you live and witness for and to Jesus? And if you are not witnessing, then to encourage you to take steps to do something to show who it is that you trust in, not just for this life, but for eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, we recognize the faithfulness of Paul, but we also recognize the faithfulness of the Philippian church, willing to suffer, willing to stand up for you in order that others might come to know you and recognize the hope that is in your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, here in Australia, we can claim to be Christians, we can worship you, but as we live each day in the world, all too often our faith is not something that is visible. Help us, dear Lord, to be prepared to exercise our faith and to witness in this world, as well as to be mindful of the suffering of our brothers and sisters elsewhere. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.